The year is 1975. It is after midnight at the electrical engineering lab at Purdue University. Barry and John walk around the otherwise abandoned lab. They are surrounded by a DEC PDP-9 computer, which stands 8 feet tall and stretches 15 feet across the lab. Connected to the PDP-9 is a large round CRT display, 2 feet in diameter. They sit down at the console and turn on the machine.
It's only about 15 binary instructions, so I just flip these switches and then press load, right?
Yeah, up for one, down for zero. When you have all the instructions loaded, we'll push the run button here.
So when can we run Space War?
After we get the tape reader going, we can use it to load the disk drive program from paper tape. Then we'll start up the disk drive and load Space War.
Great! Almost done.
Let's hope you enter the program correctly.
John pushes the run button, and the computer begins executing the program. It will now take instructions from the paper tape reader and store the instructions in memory. John and Barry walk across the room to the panel with the tape reader. John takes out a small folded stack of punched paper tape. He hands it to Barry.
Look, you put the paper tape in here like this. Then you feed the leader into the read head and close the cover. Now push load.
Wow, I guess that's a lot faster than entering all those instructions on those toggle switches.
Yeah, now we've loaded the disk drive program. Let's go start up the disk drive over here.
With the disk drive running, Barry sits down at the keyboard and types the commands to load the Space War program. After a few moments, the large round CRT begins to glow with the images of a sun in the center and two spaceships orbiting around.
There you go! It's running!
Wow! That was a lot just to load up that one program.
Yeah, it takes a while when you start it from power off. Remember, the memory is all zeros when the PDP-9 first is turned on. Starting it up from nothing and then getting this all running is like lifting yourself up by your bootstraps.
Bootstraps?
So you're gonna play Space War all night?
Yeah, I love playing games on computers. When I graduate, I want a computer I can play games on.
Don't be stupid. Who could ever afford a computer to play games?
And that's the origin of the word bootstrap, meaning to start up a computer. Today it has been shortened to just boot. Little did John and Barry realize that in just a few short decades, computer games would be the driving force behind computer advancements, and playing these games would consume an entire generation.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hello, I'm looking for the Ministry of Sillywalks.
Over there, in the media corner.
That doesn't really work on audio, does it?
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Wednesday, April 23rd, 2008. I just read something funny in the chat room. It helps us sound happy when you actually are happy. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and up there in the glass booth, like Jimmy Jet has Bob, is my friend Craig. How are you, Craig? Hey. Say hello to the folks.
Hey, how you doing down there?
No, Craig. Bob doesn't talk.
Oh, excuse me. Hold on.
Yeah, and just before the show started, Craig was asking me, no, it's not proper to steal someone else's podcast material, but I couldn't resist trying to keep a lid on Craig once.
What? No, I'm sure Jimmy's lawyers will get in touch with us soon.
His pod lawyers.
Yes, pod lawyers.
We share and share alike.
I wish his pod lawyers are pod fade.
Like his pod inkjet printouts.
I'll probably continue.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got cracking open the TRS-80 Model 4P, follow up with the Osborne 1. We've got the Apple IIgs laptop and geek weddings. You'd be amazed. All that coming up right after this.
You may now kiss the geek.
On this day in tech history for April 23rd, 2008. This is April 23rd. It's the 114th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 252 days remaining until the end of 2008. It was on this date in 1635 that the first public school in the United States, Boston Latin School, is founded in Boston, Massachusetts. William Rowan Hamilton presents his theory of systems of rays on this date in 1827. It was April 23rd, 1867 that William Lincoln patents the zoetrope, a machine which produces an illusion of action from a rapid succession of static pictures. The ZX Spectrum is released on this date in 1982. And April 23rd, 1985 is the date that Coca-Cola changes its formula and releases New Coke. The response is overwhelmingly negative, and the original formula is back on the market in less than 3 months. Happy birthday goes out of the state in 1516 to Georges Fabricius, the German poet, historian, and archaeologist. English poet and playwright William Shakespeare was believed to have been born on this date in 1564. April 23rd, 1628 marks the birthday of Johann von Waffenhut, the Dutch mathematician. French physician and anatomist Felix Vic d'Azyr was born on this date in 1746. April 23rd, 1792 is also the birthday of John Thomas Romney Robinson, the Irish astronomer and physicist. German physicist and Nobel Prize laureate Max Planck was born on this date in 1858.
Isn't he like the guy who's known for Planck's constant?
Nobel Prize winner for physiology and medicine Johannes Andreas Grimm Fibiger was born today in 1867. Actor Lee Majors celebrates his 69th birthday today.
Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster.
American filmmaker Michael Moore turns 54. And finally, women's world chess champion Alexandra Kosteniuk turns 24 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for April 23rd, 2008.
Technorama. Just another way to stick it to the man.
Made it through that one.
Yeah.
why in the $6 million man did he always go slow when he was supposed to be going fast?
Well, he was going so fast that world slowed down around him.
Does that have anything to do with Einstein's theory of relativity?
Maybe.
All things are relative. All my relatives have my things. That's my theory of relativity.
Yeah, that's E equals fam times two.
Hey, going out there on the Google alerts today, I got flagged that Technorama appeared on a site called Chasing the Bard. Would you care to explain this, Mr. Stepp?
Yeah, T. Morris woke me up this weekend and made me record something. Let me back up. Philippa Ballantyne, she's podcasting her book, Chasing the Bard, and she needed somebody to do the story so far. Well, last night...
And Craig thought she was saying Chasing the Bar.
Not Chasing the Bar, yeah. That had my attention until I said, oh, Bard. I'm kidding. Sorry. But anyway, last night, T. Morris got the call out that she needed some help, and He said, I got somebody here that'll help you. So anyway, so I was recruited and we recorded it last night as me and T were both in Myrtle Beach for Create South, which I'm going to talk about here in a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was a great weekend.
We want to give a big thank you to Philip from Australia, who dropped a donation in our tip jar.
Hey, wait a minute. Check
this
out.
Headphones.
That's two.
Now I have that Technorama song stuck in my head.
Check this out. I was talking about Philippa Ballantyne, and you're talking about Philip from Australia. She's from New Zealand. That Philips are coming from
maybe
that.
Maybe they're related.
The Phillips are invading from Australia or that area, that side of the world.
What is the theme in the chat room tonight?
Oh, no. What do we got?
Monty Python.
Oh.
Looking over at the cast of characters, we've got Captain Spam, Spam, Spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
Crunchy Toads. D. Ebdrup. Enigma Guy over Klee. Not sure what that was. Hello, Bruce. Gosh, can you guess which one's Bruce?
No.
Mind if we call you Bruce just to keep things straight? We've got It's Lord Cat, Marvy Python, Mick Clover missing in elect. Nobody expects KPA.
Marvy Python. I'm sorry. I'm still laughing at that one.
Sillywalks, SB, Soul Blaze, Spam, Spam Shepherd, and Spam.
Spam Wolf.
Spam, 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 Spam Wolf, 1983, Spam, Spam, and Spam. The Wolf 1983 is off. The Giant and Tim Dead Parrot. I was just thinking about that because we found a dead bird out on our patio today.
Oh.
I told Julie, I said, this is an ex-parrot, and she laughed. Suddenly the sadness of this little finch or whatever it was totally gone.
Yeah.
So we buried it with the two dead rabbits.
Oh.
Yeah, everything that dies gets buried in the same pet cemetery in our yard.
Did you play taps and everything?
That's right. Looking at the birthday calendar, we've got one on the 23rd. April 23rd is the birthday of Runtime. Haven't heard from Runtime in a long time. We ought to call him Long Time.
Maybe Stop Time.
Stop Time. No time. He's got no time to listen to us anymore. Happy birthday to you, Runtime. And if it's also your birthday this week and you don't happen to have your name on the Technorama birthday calendar, why not? You can go over and visit the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki and add your name. We wish you all the best, even if your name isn't there.
And you haven't been here in a while, but we remembered you anyway, so happy birthday.
That's right. Every week, one or two people add their name to that thing, so it's getting longer and longer each week.
I know.
We go on.
I keep getting notifications. This page has changed. This page has changed. I go look, and it's like, wow, our birthday calendar is starting to encompass everybody on the earth.
I don't get the real-time updates. I get the weekly digest.
Well, I think it's maybe I need to cut it back a little bit because I get a lot of them. I created the page, so that's why I get those notifications.
Okay. If you happen to be around on Sunday night and you want to join the insanity we call the chat room and audio stream, you're more than welcome to do so. It starts around 9 p.m. Eastern time in the U.S., or whatever time it is in your part of the world. You can figure out the math from there.
Or whatever time I decide to get started.
Go to chuckchat.com/webcam. You can see our lovely smiling waving faces and share in the chaos that these Monty Python fans, they change the theme every week. It's a riot. Sometimes I can't pronounce all this stuff.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's a mutual thing.
Yeah.
All right. Hacks and Strange Stories? Lenny!
Hacks and Strange Stories.
We need Lenny.
Lenny, come on in.
Okie doke, what do you need me for? Just do your line, okay? Hacks and Strange Stories! Great, now get out of here, will you?
Stinking up the place.
So long! Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord... Never mind. He's gone.
Okay.
What's on the first story? You've put that in there.
Yes.
I don't come up until story number three.
Yeah. All right. Over at Gizmodo, we frequently show off here in the show, our feature. They have a story about a 13-year-old German boy who wrote to tell NASA that their calculations for the probability of an asteroid hitting the Earth were incorrect. Not just incorrect, but I think by a pretty big margin. Agency bosses have predicted...
Calculations for the probability of an asteroid hitting... I thought you said the probability of the Earth. Okay, keep going. I had to reread that.
The probability of the Earth is not probable. Anyway, no, the agency boss said,
"You're wrong. You're wrong."
I'm right. The Earth is not probable. Agency bosses had predicted at NASA 1 in 45,000 chance of an interstellar object bringing an end to life as we know it on Earth. This is until Nico Marquardt told them that the figure was closer to 450. Wow, that's a pretty big difference. They're talking about the asteroid
450.
Yeah, as opposed to 450, a chance of 1 in 45,000.
In when?
It's a chance in 1 in 450.
It's just a slip decimal.
Yeah, some NASA scientists going, "Oh, my long division was off just a little bit." But the asteroid in question is the Apophis. I hope I'm saying that right. If it runs into one or more of the Earth's $40,000 satellites in its path to bring it close to Earth. So it could possibly happen. So anyway, I thought that was interesting that the boy actually proved him wrong, but I wish it was wrong in the other direction.
I like the comments on stories like this.
Oh, yeah?
Big Viper writes, "Yeah, because NASA would admit a 1 in 450 chance of the annihilation of the Earth. 1 in 45,000 does not create widespread panic. The truth is, it's probably headed right for us. Conspiracy theory."
He goes, "1 in 450? I don't like those odds since it's bringing an end to my life."
"I only speak two languages, English and bad English. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for conversation, but maybe you could just shut up for a minute."
No related comment, by the way. We digress.
Hey, you know, NASA slips a decimal here and there, yeah, too.
Well,
speaking of
slipping the decimal, it looks like they're changing the decimal place for the NASA Cassini mission. They're going to extend it for 2 years. It's pretty interesting.
Well, that was nice. They get their Cassini license renewed?
Yeah, just in time, too, before it expired. So NASA says it's extending the International Cassini mission that is touring Saturn and its moons for another 2 years. The space agency announced the extension Tuesday. Since 2004, the unmanned probe has beamed back more than 140,000 images. Its prime mission was slated to end in July. Which, you know, I think this is a pretty good sign of some of the projects that they're pulling off. Look at the Mars rovers, which we've talked about endlessly. You know, they've been running for, what, years beyond. It was only supposed to be like, what, 6 months that thing was, but those two were supposed to be running. They're still running.
They get as good a mileage out of their robots as I'm getting out of my suits.
I think they're gonna wear out the wheels on those things before they die off.
It's gotta come back to get the tires rotated.
Yeah, that Martian soil is a pain on the wheels, I'll tell you what. But
didn't see that coming. Yeah,
but I think this is good. I like to see them getting some extra longevity out of some of these missions. Look at some of the, was it the Pioneer that went out past, or was it Pioneer? I can't remember the name of it. It went out past the solar belt, you know, past
Voyager.
Voyager, excuse me. Which will...
V'ger, man. Get your Star Trek right.
I was going to say, which will turn into V'ger into the future. So.
Well, that was V'ger 5.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle writes in and says that the purple tentacle is taking over Linux desktops. Actually, what this is a great example of desktop art clutter turned into an art form.
I saw this and
this
I was like,
pretty good.
Wow, somebody made a lot of folders to do this.
Yeah, and they all say copy of this, copy of that, yeah, copy of this, copy of that. And then they went and organized them. And this is just flipping ridiculous, but it is a whole new art form.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and do this right now. Actually, I've seen users' desktops that have this many folders and applications on
it. Somebody must have had so many folders, and they went, wow, that kind of makes a picture, and then went and made a picture.
So what would happen if you came in and one of your employees came, hey, Chuck, come check this out. Look what I did.
Select all, delete.
Those were the users' home folders on the server. Can you put them back? I'm kidding.
Empty trash. Nope. Sorry.
Hey, I like how the tentacle is actually pointing to the trash can.
Yeah.
That's fun.
He should be pulling something out.
Yeah.
All right. What did you find? This looks most intriguing.
It does.
Speaking of pulling out of the trash.
Yeah. Vivendi is coming out with a Ghostbusters game, which has been long in development, and a lot of people are looking forward to this. Well, they
I used to play one on the Apple II. It was pretty crummy, but it was a Ghostbusters game.
Well, they restored
it was by Sirius.
Well, they restored the Ecto-1, Or I guess they made one. I don't know if they really restored the one that that we had in the movie, but they have one here. It's a restored, it looks like Ecto-1, has all the buttons and switches and stuff, which I guess you would see in the movie. You didn't really see a whole lot in the interior of that during the movies. So
they could be making anything up. Looks like they threw in some kind of oscilloscope.
What's this flux capacitor doing in here?
Should be rack mounted.
It should be rack mounted, but it just kind of hanging out there. But it looks cool, though, nonetheless.
I think. What is that, an air bottle?
I would love to have one of these to commute in.
It's like
Hey, baby, it's like a chick magnet right here.
An old converted ambulance. Yeah, they go for that.
Yeah, about as much as a hearse. But there's a ton of pictures.
Hey, you know, the only difference back in the 60s between a hearse and the ambulance, they were both made by Cadillac. The only difference was the paint job and the speed they traveled.
Well, I never thought of it that way. That's interesting. Well, I just want to say there are plenty of pictures to go see of this thing. So, yeah.
Yes, there are. Bring us in to motorcycle news.
There's an air-powered motorcycle.
Air-powered?
Yeah.
Now, I've seen battery-powered. We were at Sam's Club yesterday, and there was one in the return rack, and the note on the handlebar said, rear wheel locks up. Now, that kind of be a problem with a motorized scooter.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
this looks a little more intriguing.
It does. An inventor has created what he claims is the world's first motorcycle powered by fresh air. Jim Stansfield says his converted punch moped.
Fresh air? So it won't work in L.A.?
Yeah. Some areas of the country it won't work. Anyway, he says his moped his converted punch moped produces cleaner air than found in many towns and cities. Like LA.
I believe it's pronounced puck.
I'll ask you, how do you pronounce it? So anyway, it actually fires out cleaner air, he says. I'm not sure exactly how this works, but you can go see a picture of it. It looks cool. It's like it's got a tank on it. You know, I don't know if you have to pressurize it.
Unlike electric scooters, it just takes seconds to recharge from larger air tanks filled by a diving compressor. The first thing that came to mind is the girls were watching Discovery Channel. They were watching Mythbusters, the one where they do the Jaws myths busted.
Yeah.
Can you shoot an air tank and it blows up? No, it just shoots around like a rocket. So I figured this would be fun for about 5 seconds.
Roy Scheider should have watched the Mythbusters first. Oh, no, we're going to get a bigger tank.
But you got to admit, it's green.
Yeah, very green and clean air.
Over at adude.podbean.com, the Adude Ramblecast writes in, all right, this is just a cross between the weird and the weirder. At the Comic-Con, he said, I spent the day at Comic-Con and did not see this guy, but a friend emailed me this picture. Apparently somebody decked out their Star Wars Stormtrooper outfit. Okay, you know what we're talking about. They're usually white. No, he put the Spider-Man gizmo on him. He's got the red helmet with the spider web stuff on it, the thighs and everything blue in there. It's a piece of work.
Two pop icons in one.
I like to put this guy up against TD-0013.
Yeah, let's see. Be like Indiana Jones with the gun and the whip, and the guy's got the knife, you know, and he just...
The whole point to the Stormtroopers is they're clones. This makes absolutely no sense.
Well, you know, you always got a bad apple in there somewhere.
Independent, free-thinking Stormtroopers. What's this world coming to?
He must be quashed.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
We have no free-thinking in the Empire.
We got a schlug of them, to say the least.
A schlug? Is that a metric
schlug? A schlug. It's a metric schlug.
I'm free! I'm open! I'm open! I'm open!
Oh, damn. Oh, I love turducken. I've done turducken for 2 years now. I don't remember what those are. How do we get on food? Is this the Food Network?
We can stretch anything into Technorama.
I know. Chuck is losing it. He needs vacation time.
Let's promote him to manager! You keep talking, I'll keep listening.
Well, there goes that.
Technorama. I like this place. It's got variety.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Holy cow.
What makes you say that?
Look how big that thing is. I thought the last computer we looked at was huge.
This is hot on the heels of the Osborne 1 being cracked open. And this is the Trash 80 Model 4P. Now, they made some improvements over the Osborne 1. They actually gave this, what, about a 12-inch screen? Which, yes, makes it quite a bit bigger because it is a CRT.
Beautiful. I'm watching the football games on it, man.
I found this over at Tech Republic. I'm on their mailing list, so I get things like this every once in a while. I put in the comments, wow, this reminds me of my K-Pro 2 down in the basement. Nobody wrote me back and said, hey, why don't you crack that baby open?
Why don't you do that and take for Technorama?
You know, that's not a bad idea for a special. Maybe we could do a video than just a series of still pictures.
Do it. Take some pictures.
That would be more fun to do together. Why don't you get your butt up here and we'll do it?
I'll do it. When are we coming? Okay. When am I coming? Hey, bring it to Vegas. Can you check that thing?
Stuff that baby in the overhead.
You know what? I will come to Wisconsin to do that. I will figure out a way.
All right. I'll save it for them. That'll be a good special. We'll make a little video of it.
Okay.
I'm not sure we'll put it back together, but at this point, I'm not sure it has any value. Although, you know, one of the comments in his pictures were people saying, you can't just take those things apart. You're ruining a piece of history. The last picture is actually all put back together. It does boot up. So he puts these things back. He's not destroying anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's got screws. You take them out, put them in. It's what they're there for.
This one was kind of disgusting, though. Underneath the keyboard, there was a dead fly.
I just saw that.
Oh, how long has a fly been in there, man? That's like feral age.
I was going to say that fly is at least 25 years old.
This one has a couple other advantages over the Osborne in that it's got lots more shielding and sheet metal work around the floppy drives and things.
Wait, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How would a fly get in that part of the keyboard anyway?
How do flies get anywhere? They're good. They crawl around and creep around and who knows what.
I will say this, like you're talking about all that sheet metal. I know it seems like that's kind of been a theme of some of the Tandy computers. It's kind of had a lot of, I don't know.
A lot of them had a lot of sheet metal. Computers these days have a lot of sheet metal.
It's true.
It's starting to resemble more of a modern computer, or at least a modern.
I tell you what I hated was as computers got more prevalent and they were cranking out these cheap mini tower cases, they started cleaning off the edges of the sheet metal.
And
you know, so like,
I think we've
great for cutting skin.
Haven't we been through that before?
We have. I'm just having flashbacks again. I'm jaded, man.
That's when a lot of the manufacturing went from the U.S. over to, you know, Korea and some of the lower cost countries so they could manufacture cheaper and quieter.
But I tell you, man, I would rejoice when I had like a case that had polished, you know, metal. It was polished and the edges were cleaned up and, oh man, there were some good ones, but yeah.
And you would rejoice. I can just see that Craig dancing around. Look, it's got countersunk screw holes.
Doing the Snoopy dance.
Oh yeah. Who's the man? No Torx for me.
No Torx.
All right, looking at the media corner.
Look at it hard.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Look at what you
hey,
got.
Where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
Over at waxy.org, we find Infocom's unreleased sequel to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah. This is kind of a surprise for me because I didn't know there was even one in development. I guess if I did know, it was something I'd heard a long time ago. But apparently, this guy had found in his possession a backup hard drive from Infocom, of all places.
No kidding.
And on there is not only notes and data relating to Milliways, the restaurant to the end of the universe, and the next game in the Hitchhiker's Guide, you know, sequel. Mm-hmm. It's a sequel to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy from Infocom. But there's emails talking about history of, or dictating, I'm sorry, there were emails dictating the history of development. So who was working on it? Who were going to try and get on it? You know, they went back and forth with a bunch of people. Some people dropped out. Turns out Douglas Adams actually had cashed a check, you know, to work on this, but never really did anything on the second one, which was kind of interesting.
So somebody going to finish this?
No, I mean, no, Infocom, you know, it's gone in, what, 99?
So what, is it in the public domain now? What's this guy going to do with what he found?
You can download it off the site.
Oh!
Down below, there's two playable versions, but it was never completed. So basically, at the end of the Hitchhiker's game, the first one, you're standing on Magrathea on the ramp,
mm-hmm.
leaving the ship with Zaphod and the whole crew. But that's where it ended. And then this game picks up right there. Oh, did I ruin it for somebody in the chat room? Is that a spoiler? Should I say a spoiler alert?
You're saying he hasn't finished the game yet.
Anyway, so this game picks up from there. It really doesn't go much farther than that. You can't do a whole lot. So it's not that playable. It's not that playable.
Open source, man. Open source. Let the community have at it.
That would be nice.
That'd be fun. Anyway,
but anyway, it's interesting to see how much money the Hitchhiker's game made as opposed to some of the other games. And I don't know, they were just a big force and they just kind of fell apart somewhere. But it's really cool to go look back at these emails. What surprised me most, and I know email's been around for a long time, but I was just surprised how many emails they were sending back and forth in the 80s, you know,
mm-hmm.
as a form of communication to work on development. It just kind of, that kind of surprised me a little bit.
I've been using email since 85.
Yeah. Well, I guess in a form I have, but I never thought about, you know, internet-wide. I was doing like, you know, I'd log onto the bulletin board and do email in the mid-80s. But I don't know, it just seemed interesting that they were having the kind of conversations that people do nowadays. You know, there's people that haven't met at all, and they communicate only email or otherwise to develop stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So to see this kind of development was kind of an eye-opener with me through the email. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just seemed kind of cool.
And speaking of people getting together, Michelle sends us a link about a geek wedding like you've never seen before. At the reception, right? There's this couple, mm-hmm. Dave and Ellie. They are big video game fans. And at the reception, one of their friends put together a video game for them. It's kind of like Donkey Kong, only it started out kind of like a slideshow. You see it so many weddings with pictures and whatnot. And then they handed the bride and groom game controllers. And they had to play their way through this. And it was... There must have been some inside jokes. Like, I think Dave worked at a Circuit City or a Best Buy or something. And one of his mm-hmm. levels that he had to pass was balancing the VCRs. And if he got it wrong, his boss came and yelled at him. This was pretty funny.
I have seen this, and I remember I was watching it. They started playing the game. I was like, wow, they went out of their way to make a game for their wedding reception. Big time.
That's what I was thinking, too. Even if it was, if you're proficient at Flash and putting this together, it still would have taken a long time.
Yeah, unless you're really good, so.
That counts us out.
Yeah.
Well, my browser's making a mess of things. Switching screens.
And there's that awkward silence that we can magically fix in editing.
Please do.
And I hadn't known how to do it because I watched T. Morse demonstrate that at the Crate South.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Craig's going to tell us about Create South, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Like how to hack a pigeon.
Pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog.
I think I heard about this a while ago. When they said cell phones, all I could think of was gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeon. And the crowd goes silent.
Using pigeons to carry packet data. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg, and then they send it, and then once it got there, they would take it and put it back on the internet. Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 pigeons per minute. Yeah.
2 BPM.
What? Technorama, home to a couple of bird brains named Chuck and Craig.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. Hey, these guys make me feel like I'm flying with Superman. Oh, yeah.
Craig, tell us a little bit about what you did last weekend. You've been hinting at this thing with T. Morris and...
Yeah. Hey, baby.
What's the 411?
Let me tell you about T. Morris. Well, the weekend of the 19th, was the launch pad of Create South. This was spearheaded by Dave Slusher of Evil Genius Chronicles, and he wanted to do a conference where the emphasis was on doing stuff, you know, like workshops and whatnot, rather than just, you know, talking heads came up there telling you how to do things and not really do anything. That makes sense. Anyway, so he started Create South. It was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, at the train depot, which is a restored train depot. It was like a large room. Weather was perfect for this, so it was kind of nice out. We had a nice little turnout for the first one, especially. I think there was like 40, 50 people there total. They had talks ranging from branding, blogging, mm-hmm. and new media materials, like using Jot and things like that, social networks. It was a lot of fun. And me and T. Morris made a presentation on, you know, building your podcasting studio. Mm-hmm. And that went over pretty good. And then we did a workshop. Now, there was a couple little scheduling snafus where the time of some of the workshops kind of got pushed down. But, you know, it was no big deal. Everybody was really cool about it. And a lot of good turnout, a lot of great people. Even had lunch was catered. That was really good. But it was a lot of fun to hang out with these people. And really cool because everybody seemed really enthusiastic about what they were trying to do. And
Was it a bunch of podcasters there? Or were there listeners? Who was there?
So it was a good mix. Some people were just bloggers. Some people were into video. And then there were some people that were doing some podcasting. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was a good mix. And everybody was interested in a little bit of something throughout the day. There was one gentleman there. I'm sorry, I did not meet him. He was a pastor, and he was talking about creating podcasts for your church, which I thought was cool. And he had his little room full, so we kind of split up, and you know, it was excellent. So I look forward to it next year. So yeah, keep an eye out, createsouth.org, and I guess you'll, you know, in the near future, you'll start seeing details about it next year.
Maybe I can time my quarterly trip to that one, and we can hook up somehow.
You know what? You would be perfect for something like this. I was also thinking Douglas E. Welch, because he does a lot of the pod camps,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of the feel of this. It wasn't an overnighter, of course, but it had that kind of feel, like a grassroots type thing, and there's people there talking about how to do this, that, and other. And yeah, I think it's going to grow, and I think it's going to be pretty good, which would be nice to have something on the East Coast for a change. But yeah, I'd love to see you there, Chuck.
All right. Thank you very much for the update. Let's move on to the Geek Library, where we find the Opus 8 Watch.
Yeah, it's the Opus 8 Watch.
Pin art spin on the mechanical digital display. Didn't we already cover a mechanical digital display watch?
Well, you did, and that's why I put this in here.
Okay, but this one says...
It says this is
the first watch with a mechanical display.
So
mechanical
which one digital. Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's why I put it in here.
Oh.
It says the Opus 8 watch by Harry Winston comes in at a close second. Ah, see? They say close second. While the DG used to be used mechanical tubes.
I had them backwards.
Anyway, you can go check it out. It's a really cool looking watch. That's why I threw it in here. I'm kind of a watch geek, but at the same time, I don't wear watches anymore because I don't really need to.
All right. Over at Engadget, Ben Heck, the man who brought the PS3 laptop, which they say they'll be auctioning off for charity soon, just outdid himself one better with an Apple II GS laptop. This looks really funny to see this very beautifully industrial designed computer that has such a low res, crummy color, less than Windows 2.0 screen on it.
To Windows 2.0?
Yeah.
It's an Apple, man.
I know it's an Apple. But the user interface is very old Windows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even that particular Mac, I'm looking at a screenshot from one of the early Macs. that same very Apple II GS, and the Apple II GOS looks like that. I don't know what the resolution was on that thing at the time. But hey, I think he did a great job with this. It looks
I'm not sure how he did it, but it looks beautiful.
Well, this is the same guy, if I'm not mistaken. He's done like the portable Atari and the, you know, Xbox laptop and all the different things. But yeah, I think he outdid himself.
That is neat. I'm curious to see how much they get for the PS3 laptop.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that too.
Thank you, Claudio, for sending that in. And also on the user contribution list, Tanya from Dancing with Elephants.
Tanya rocks.
No. Is that what we said?
That's what I said.
No, that's what I said.
I'm saying it now.
No, it's Tanya, you rock.
I'm saying it now.
Quit stealing my material. She sends us a link to evilmadscientist.com where they make fractal cookies. She said, I don't know if this is Technorama or not, but couldn't resist. Yes, I think anything related to fractals is Technorama.
If it's got math in it, sure, why not?
And if you don't know what a fractal cookie is, you know what a fractal is, right, Craig?
Yeah, it's one of those never-ending mathematical functions that kind of...
Right. The more you zoom in, the more it looks the same, and you keep zooming. The most famous one is called the Mandelbrot set. Which is a graphical representation of complex numbers. And you see the little curvy section, and you zoom in on the curves, and there's more curves and swirls or whatever you want to call them. Well, these are fractal cookies. And the more you zoom in or zoom out, the more the pattern stays the same. And I thought this was rather ingenious how they did this.
Or is it the more you eat, the more it multiplies?
Oh, man, I'm getting full just looking at these cookies. You'd have to refrigerate the dough. Otherwise, when you cut it, it would deform and you wouldn't wind up with the nice square patterns.
Yeah, you'd have you'd have to freeze it somehow or make it really cold so it wouldn't.
Oh, talk about self-referential. We played that sweeper a little while ago about, what is this, the Technorama cooking show? Yes, we can turn anything into Technorama, and it's fractal cookies this week.
Yes.
The more you eat, the more you want to eat.
I always thought fractals were tasty.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate all of your love. We know you like the show, and we like you listening to it. And if you'd like to help contribute, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line like so many people do, 206-222-2428, or download Skype. If you're outside the U.S., it's probably a cheaper, easier way. Or if you have a PSP, you can also use Skype.
I love the smell of fractals in the morning.
Gives a whole new meaning to computer cookies, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we're done with that topic now, Craig.
Okay.
Put Chuck Chat in your buddy list on the Skype, and our answering machine will be happy to take your message 24/7. It never sleeps, except when it died. But dying isn't really sleeping, is it?
Sort of.
You can also email us, technorama@chuckchat.com.
It's involuntary sleeping.
Website for all your forum swag, webcam, mail lists, and all the other good stuff is at chuckchat.com, of course. You can also donate to the tip jar. There's one-time or monthly micropayments. We mention it every week, so we won't bore you again with it here. If you have no money and you just want to share your enthusiasm somehow, go write us a review on the iTunes Music Store. That'd be great. Link us as a favorite in Podcast Pickle. We'd love you there too. Or vote for us on Podcast Alley. Helps boost the rankings, get people more involved. More people are involved, the more fun we have. Yada, yada, yada. It's like a party. This is like a party.
Hey, Podcast Alley, live off the ease for savings. I'm sorry, I had to steal that from somebody else.
That was Clinton about blueberry. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had to steal his material too.
Craig's in an alternate timeline. If you're detecting tachyon particles, it's him.
Yeah, follow him.
I love the smell of tachyons in the morning.
Follow the tachyons and you'll see me.
Thanks to the following people for donating their time and talent to keeping Technorama going. Scott Reynolds and Ustream for keeping our modest audio streams going on Sunday nights. Mad Marv for all the great blog content he provides during the week. If you're not going to Technorama's website, chuckchat.com/Technorama, subscribe to the full RSS feed to get all the articles and whatnot. You're missing out on half the fun that makes up this craziness we call Technorama.
That's right.
You can also join us. Yes.
I was just thinking, we need to come up with some bumper stickers that says Technorama, save tachyons.
Craig's trying to go green in a weird sort of way.
Sci-fi green.
Save this show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com, also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great content over at farpointmedia.net. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give us a big, fat, binary high five.
I love the smell of 101 in the morning.
Good for you.
Now go hack something, maggot.
What a place, what a place. Why, it's as pretty as a picture.
Go for it, bro. Don't podcast me, bro.